I just want to do God's will.
The kind of revolution that the world needs is a Christian revolution.
If you want a miracle, you've got to expect it to happen.
You're the recipients of God's grace and God's blessings, and you rejoice in that reality.
Welcome to Life Today Live. Randy Robinson here. You know, I was by myself this weekend. We had another grandson, and so my wife was at my daughter's house to help and take care of the three-year-old. So rare opportunity that I can turn my stereo up as loud as I want and play my guitar as loud as I want in my own house and not bother anyone else. So I was having a good time doing that. So I just for fun, I'll put on something and I'll play along with some music. So I was doing that this weekend with Johnny Cash, because he's Johnny Cash, right? I have pictures of myself when I was a kid where Johnny Cash was at my dad's crusades, and he came to the house a few times, so he was like a friend of the family. Anyway, great musician. So there's a song that I've heard it before. I hadn't really thought about it, but I love the song musically, right? And the lyrics in it hit me this weekend, because part of the lyrics I'll just read to you. Go tell that long tongue liar, go tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, and the backbiter, tell them that God's going to cut them down. And it goes on and says, you can run on for a long time, but sooner or later, God will cut you down. And I paused and I thought, God, this is terrible theology, right? I mean, that is like this is such not a New Testament view of Scripture at all. And I thought, but you know what? We think that. We feel like that if we don't put it into words like Johnny Cash did. But how should we really look at God? Well, we're going to maybe address some of that and adjust that. And my guest today has a country music connection. His name is Craig Allen Cooper. He has an organization called Glad You're Here Ministries. He had a book years ago with country singer Walker Hayes called Glad You're Here. He's also got a podcast by the name Glad You're Here. But the name of the book that just came out is Overflowing Mercies. Looks just like this. It's 100 meditations on the tender heart of God. Now, how does that jive with the Johnny Cash song? Well, good news for you is it doesn't. So we're going to explore that. Appreciate you being here. If you're watching us live, chat is open, so we appreciate your kind comments, Judy. Yes, we a lot of us appreciate Johnny Cash's music, at least. Rough life. But Craig, welcome to Life Today Live. Good to have you here.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Randy. I'm so grateful to hang with y'all today. I really appreciate it.
So I don't know your background. I'm curious. Did you grow up in any kind of God will cut you down background like I did?
Yeah, great question. I grew up in a denomination that wasn't, at least the church I was a part of, wasn't really preaching the gospel. It was works-based righteousness. And we were there. I mean, we were there every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. And the main thing they were preaching was baptismal regeneration. So, you know, if you want to get your life completely transformed and changed, it was really you be baptized, but there wasn't an emphasis or the focus on Christ as much as what he had done for us, what he's done for us. And mm-hmm. So, it was a little bit of a legalistic, you know, yeah, type of background, and not one that you would have sensed the tender heart of God, at least in
yeah, Lord. right. And no, and that's what I like about your book here and the approach you're taking. I mean, you know, I grew up with the kind of late great planet Earth kind of stuff, like you better live right today because Jesus could come back at any minute. And if you're not living right, you're toast, right? You know, and it's like, you read your Bible and you go, that's not the Jesus I saw. What are you trying to say through these devotions about, you know, God's tenderness and his mercy?
Yeah, I was actually reading it earlier this week, but in Luke 1, it talks about because of the tender mercy of our God, you know, Jesus would come as the Savior. And it really is God's heart. You know, you look in, everybody knows John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Mm-hmm. But it's followed by John 3:17, and that's, for God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, mm-hmm. But in order that the world might be saved through him. And so God is not coming to us with condemnation. And I really believe he's coming in on a rescue mission, with tender mercy. And that's why the Savior came. That's why Jesus came. And so I'm really wanting people to feel God's heart for them specifically, and personally and passionately, where it just, you can take a deep breath and just know, I'm loved by the Lord who created the heavens and the earth and everything in it. And everything points to that. So that's what this whole devotion is, just trying to point people to God's tender heart of mercy.
I think we read a lot of scripture out of context and come away with a lot of that kind of judgmentalism, that condemnation, that, yeah, we know that there is therefore no condemnation in Christ for, we know that's there, but we also see a lot of, Jesus talking about not judgment and kind of the idea that God's going to cut you down. What we don't always see, and this is why context is important, that's why John 3:16 is directly connected to 3:17. He wrote it all right together, right? So these thoughts need to go together. The judgment that is so often talked about in Scripture, in the Gospels, and all the way through Paul's letters, Peter's writings, is for those who rejected Christ, specifically, in most cases, the Jews who knew that the Messiah was promised, were told what he would look like. He was there. He showed himself. He did the miracles, and then they still rejected him, and the judgment then fell on that old covenant system as Christ ushered in a new and better covenant. I think for us, especially us Gentiles, and definitely not the generation of Jews that saw the fulfillment of the promise of the Messiah, all of us after that, I think the best example is almost, it really is that woman at the well, where Jesus goes, look, I know your sins.
Yeah.
And we think, man, I hear you, and you do. And what does he do? And that's the tenderness that I think we miss when we read scriptures that really are not speaking directly to us. They reveal God's character and nature. But when Christ comes to us, there's correction. But like you say, I think there's an overwhelming sense of mercy tenderness. Is this what you're seeing?
Yeah, I love to think of it like the difference between Niagara Falls and the Hoover Dam. So I took the family to see Niagara Falls, and my daughter's jaw just dropped. She said, Daddy, we're in a dream. You feel the mist. It's just powerful. And I think God's mercy comes to us with more might than the Niagara Falls. And his wrath is held back with greater power than the Hoover Dam. Every day we're just seeing how the Lord is, because of his mercy, because of his steadfast love, the sun rose up this morning, he causes the rain to fall, on the righteous and the unrighteous. And everywhere we look, you're just seeing mercy after mercy after mercy of God not giving us the judgment that he could rightly give, for us stiff-arming him and dissing him. Instead, he comes, like you said, to the woman of the well, and comes with so much grace. I love the whole campaign. He gets us, so you see the commercials, even over the Super Bowl and all that, but he gets us. He knows the way we're made. He knows our frame. He knows. I love that Jesus was called a man of sorrows and well acquainted with grief, and grief of all kinds. Mm-hmm. But you know, he knows the grief we bring on ourselves, and he knows the grief that's brought on to us, that's coming, you know, just being a part of this broken world that we're in. And he comes with so much grace and mercy and compassion, you know, for anybody who feels broken. And I mean, if you feel like, man, I've blown it, or I feel broken, then that's really that's the audience of who I'm trying to speak words of comfort and mercy and grace to in this devotional.
So let me ask you a little bit about that, because you know, a lot of times people feel broken by the difficulties of this life, you know, losing a loved one that can break you, or yeah, not just losing someone, but, you know, disease or crime, you know, evil in the world.
Yeah.
And they, for them, they feel like, okay, that river of mercy's dried up because I'm going through hell right now.
Oh, man.
What do you say to that person who just feels like it's run dry because they're suffering?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think the temptation for us at times is to take the hard stuff of life and equate it with the heart of God, as if God somehow delights, like that song you sang, you know, cutting us down, you know. And I think we err when we do that. You know, I think, Randy, it's more the shortest verse in the Bible that anybody can memorize is Jesus wept. And when in the face of others' grief, you know, Mary and Martha in this situation, you know, with Lazarus and the death of their brother. And I mean, Jesus knew he was going to go raise him from the dead. Mm-hmm. But he was so impacted by their grief, by their suffering, by what was real at that moment for them, that, you know, he wept. And that's the heart of God for everybody who's suffering. You know, if you're walking through something right now, you're listening, and you just think, man, it was so hard for me to get up this morning and just try to take the next step. You know, the Lord is compassionate and gracious. Mm-hmm. He is compassionate. He understands. He gets that. And he is sympathetic. He's a sympathetic high priest. It says that in Hebrews. He's able to understand everything we're walking through because he was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. And so, I just think, I love where Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Mm-hmm. You know, for I'm gentle and lowly among you, and my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you'll find rest for your souls. He wants to offer that to us: rest, compassion, sympathy, mercy, grace, favor. And I just pray for that person right now, that you would feel the warm hug of God somehow in your life, and that you would sense his tears, you know, even on your shoulder. As he hugs you in your suffering. He was a man of sorrows, well acquainted with grief.
I it's one thing to read those types of things, and you can kind of know it, you know, in your head, but to know it deep in your soul, I really do think you have to experience it for yourself. Have you experienced it?
Yeah, man. Yeah, you'll get me here on this. We've walked through moments of deep sorrow, moments of sadness, of suffering. And you go back even my early, it's so funny, my early 20s, I came to faith in Christ as an 18-year-old college freshman. And I went straight on the ministry track because the gentleman who was leading the campus ministry at the time said, hey, champ, what's God doing in your life? And I said, I just want to give my life to Jesus. and I want to do what that man was doing. And I pointed to the gentleman who had just led me to faith in Christ, who was preaching. And so I kind of went as a college student, all in, serving Jesus, had all this zeal and passion and desire to do great things for Christ, and graduated in 3 years and went straight into a pastor's college, and then came back and started serving, leading the campus ministry where I had heard about Christ. Actually, the three biggest introductions in my life were introduced to Jesus, introduced to the church and ministry, and introduced to my wife. They all happened in that campus ministry. So it's huge for me. And so it was a privilege to lead it. And then I came on as the second pastor in a small but growing church at the time. And I, within 2.5 years, what had happened, Randy, for me, is I just packed out the calendar with doing something, serving in all kinds of various ways. And I ended up completely burning out, you know, about 2.5 years in. And I got fired from that ministry role. And I felt so devastated. It didn't feel like just a change of jobs. It felt like a death of a dream, a death of a calling, a death, you know, all of this stuff. And so that was kind of probably the first little bit of just walking through sorrow. We stayed in the same church, and I just really kind of worked on what was going on in my own soul, and ended up about 5 years later, they said, "Hey, wish we had never fired you. Would you come back on staff?" And at that point, I had grown a career and ended up coming back on staff. But during that time, that was a time of a lot of deep sorrow, I think, for me. Felt like a failure. Felt just like, what has happened? And then we walked through, you know, I've walked through significant suffering. You know, I walked in, found my mom when she had taken a full bottle of pills and overdosed, and I'm the one who found her. And thankfully, we were able to help her, and I got her to the car, and we got her to a facility, and they pumped her stomach, and they saved her life. And then, you know, we walked through that, and that's hard. You know, that's something that's hard to walk through. And then death of close family friends. And so, yeah, I have felt the Lord draw near to me in times of deep sorrow, where, you know, he just comforted me with his love.
The thing about that, and you know, I think most people watching have experienced something where that sorrow hits, and you just, and yeah, I think it's fair to call on God, even if it's, God, where are you? You know, and I know. You know, when Lazarus died the first time, because he did die again, right?
Yeah.
We like to skip that part. You know,
yeah.
his sister said, "You know, Jesus, if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened."
Yeah.
And we all feel like that at times. That's like, oh man, God. But and he's saying, no, you know, I'm here. And I know where we're going with this thing. But yet that the Jesus wept, that I always thought that was odd. I'd be laughing, right? If I could raise a guy from the dead and I knew I was about to do it at a funeral, I'd walk in snickering, because I'd be thinking, I can't wait to see the look on their faces when I do this one, right? You know? Yeah. And you go, well, what was that about? I mean, it's strange. Unless you understand his heart for the other people and the pain they were in, the feeling of abandonment that they were expressing. And that's right where you've been. That's right where we've all been. And I think that what he gives us more than anything, Lazarus came out of the grave, and I think a lot of that was about showing, you know, everybody who Christ was, that he had power over death. But then Lazarus did die again later. They don't record that, but he did. Because the greater victory is not the temporary healing, but the eternal forgiveness of sins.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it just addresses all of our short-sighted thinking. But the most powerful thing through that, I think, and the thing that resonates true today for you, for me, anybody watching, is that Jesus is in that with his presence.
Yes.
And he cares.
Yes, he cares. He cares so much more than we realize. He's so moved by and affected by our pain and our grief. And I think often about just James and First Peter, where it talks about that God, we're not the only ones who are care, you know, who are anxious. He cares deeply. And so we can cast our cares on the one who cares for us. You know, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. I love that.
Yeah, I
love that. But that's what I think was happening in that moment with Lazarus, is that, you know, he was just moved. Mm-hmm. Jesus was moved by the pain and the suffering, and he wept.
I heard one preacher say one time that no, Jesus was crying because of their unbelief. like an angry cry. And I'm like, what Bible are you reading? And here's what I see in that. And honestly, we oftentimes have difficulty showing tenderness or mercy towards other people.
Yeah.
Because we have not experienced it ourselves.
Yeah.
Have you been able to express that God's tenderness and mercy to others because you've experienced it?
I think you're 100% right on that. I think God had to break my heart to give me a tender heart for the broken. And he did that early on. And I thank the Lord for it. I'm so glad that I got let go from that pastoral ministry position in my early 20s, because it broke my heart, but it gave me compassion and tenderness. I think the same stuff that, you know, I've walked through with my mom, and I've had season. I had a 4-year just progressive season of deep and dark discouragement, and it led to depression. And you know, the cloud wouldn't lift. It just wouldn't lift, and it has now by the grace of God. And I'm so grateful. But I think that the Lord at times has walked me through deep valleys, so that when I'm sitting across from somebody, whether it's at the dinner table or in a counseling situation or even at the ball field, and they say they're struggling with this and this and this, that, you know, my first response is not something telling them, you know, do this or believe this or do, you know, but it's more compassion and care, and you know, just give them a big hug. Sometimes I don't even say anything, you know, just want them to feel loved by the Lord. But yeah, I believe he's broken my heart so that I can have a tender heart.
Well, and you know, the presence, just being present for someone. You know, we don't, as Christians, we don't always have to have the right words, or you know, a bumper sticker slogan on the end of our tongue. Our presence, I think, is more powerful than we realize. In a lot of cases, there's a lot here. The cover of the book has that waterfall that he talked about. This is Craig's website, by the way, CraigAllenCooper.com. And if you see on the book there, that waterfall is the imagery, and that's on purpose. And you know, there's 100 devotions here, because there's a lot to drink in. And when we, our cup is full of God's tenderness and mercy, I do think it will naturally, I know it will naturally flow over to others. And that's where really where we're supposed to be. And so if you feel a little dry, a little empty, fill up with God's mercies, and Craig's there to help you. Craig, I appreciate you. By the way, also Craig's podcast is on that website as well if you want to check that out. Is there anything you want to add before I let you go? I appreciate your the emphasis on this.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you. I'm so grateful for our partnership in the gospel. I'm so grateful for the work that you're doing. And I'm honored to be here. And just for everybody listening, stay strong and pray the Lord just strengthens your soul, encourages your faith, comforts you with his compassion, and fills you afresh with his spirit for all the good that you're doing in the world. It's a broken world, and lights shine really bright in the midst of the darkness. And so just grateful for everybody whose lights are shining.
Appreciate you, Craig. I appreciate all of you watching out there. If you want to encourage somebody, hit that share button. If you haven't liked, followed, or subscribed, I invite you to do that. You'll get more encouragement here on Life Today Live. Now, go fill up on God's overflowing mercies. We'll see you again next time.
Ever flowing and abundant rings of grace.